Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Baseball Money is Fake on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today, bet $100, and get $100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. We're also brought to you by SGPN's Big Game Bingo, a $57 SGPN gift card for every bingo hit. And make sure you check out SGPN's 57 Bets Challenge, $570 in cash and a $507 gift card to the winner of the props contest. Get all our contest info exclusively on the SGPN app. And if you're going to be out in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out our live show at the Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game.
Welcome to Baseball Money is Fake. Fantasy Baseball Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I am Blake Meyer. As always, I have to stop leaning into the mic because we are recording video this time. Kind of wild. It's new for me. And I am here with my man, Ryan Gilbert. As always, how you doing?
This is just going swimmingly. I'm doing pretty good here. You know,
there we go.
We're here. We're recording some video just to test it out here. We're probably not going to release much outside of clips, but hopefully moving forward, we can go live on Twitter, go live on YouTube, and post some full clips, maybe some full shows there as the season moves closer, as we keep going on with our rankings here. Definitely just trying to add another avenue for people to watch, to get involved with the podcast. So, yeah. Keep an eye out on our Twitter for some live shows coming up. And yeah, hopefully we can get this video thing going, running pretty smoothly, and we can get it going by spring training.
Yeah, especially now that we started using it, I can learn how to use it. I know everybody else on the network uses it all the time, pretty much except for us. So we're finally joining the Cool Kids Club and doing it as well. Eventually, we'll probably have a YouTube and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But that'll come in the future. First, I got to learn how to do this part first. But then after we get through this part, then we can go into letting you guys see our beautiful faces all the time.
Yeah. And we usually record during the week, 5 Eastern, 6 Eastern. It's usually when we record. So if that's when you're available and you want to watch, make sure you hop in when we do that. But for now, we're you can only hear our beautiful voices, not see our beautiful faces just yet. And yeah, make sure you are subscribed to the Baseball Money is Fake podcast. Wherever you listen to your podcast, we see a lot of downloads on the SGPN network feed. But make sure you also subscribe to the Baseball Money is Fake feed on Apple, Spotify, wherever you find your podcast. And turn on that auto download so you can get the podcast right into your feed as soon as we release it. And you can get the most up-to-date fantasy baseball information.
Yeah, and you can also check us out on Twitter, at Fake Baseball. It's the coolest at on Twitter. When we go live, that's where we'll be going live. So you'll be able to see us over there, and you can check us out in the Discord also, sg.pn/Discord. Just type it right in your browser. It just pops Discord right up, asks you if you want to join the server. Say yes, and then come talk to all the people that we got in there. I think we got like 3,000, 3,500 people, some ridiculous amount. It's just full of people talking about all the different sports your little heart might desire. But speaking of talking about sports you desire, we have been doing our baseball position rankings lately for fantasy baseball. We're taking a little break from that today. We finished off the infield. We had catcher, first base, second base, third base. Yesterday we did shortstop, which hopefully you guys got to listen to today. If not, go back and listen to that one before this. Now we are going to dive into our infield sleepers. We've each got one guy between. We use the NFBC ADP guys like between 100 and 200 in that range. It might kind of bleed out from that a little bit farther, but we got a little list, one from each position. So before we do that, you want to do the ad real quick?
Well, yeah, but I was going to say, not necessarily taking a break here from the rankings, but like more so recapping the infield rankings here and like seeing a guy or two, or I had three initially at each position, but I narrowed it down to one at each position here, where I did keep it at 120 or later because we were trying to go around 10 in a 12-team league to up to 180 or 200. We didn't want to get too far, too deep into the weeds there. But yeah, this should be fun to kind of a little recap of our rankings. If you have not listened to them yet, make sure you check them out. They're great content and evergreen up until the season starts. Speaking of evergreen,
yeah, and we've got some. Oh yeah,
WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are tons of ways to win, including live betting and same game parlays, also known as WynnBET's Build Your Own Bet. The big game is here, and WynnBET has you covered. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer: bet $100, get $100. Limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Please, 20 or present that playthrough is available. If you're a serious gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And if you're going to be out in Arizona for the big game, make sure to check out SGP's live show at the Ainsworth Thursday at 11 a.m. Register today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game. The show is free. The picks are always free. You'll be able to watch the show and have some drinks with the guys. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/big game at the Ainsworth on Thursday.
Man, so this is still, for those of you that have been listening from the beginning, you will know that I am not originally a podcaster. I am a writer. That is my favorite thing to do. That is how I got into this line of work. I am a writer. And getting used to podcasting took some time, but now I have so much fun doing it, and I have gotten so much better at it and so much more comfortable. But that is because nobody could see me while I was talking. And now everybody can see me while I'm talking. And
not yet.
Not yet. You will, though. And
I can see you. I can see you. Don't worry.
Those eyes looking at me just got me rattled, and it's taken me back to square one, but I'm trying to reel it in, get back to my normal podcasting ways. And I think one way to do that is to talk about my sleeper at the catcher position.
Let's talk about some barrel rates. Let's get some walk rates in there. That'll get you right into it. Who you got at catcher?
Big motherfucking dumper. Cal Raleigh. He's too good to not be the sleeper. I know when I did my catcher rankings, I have him at 11. So he's still in my top 12, so I wouldn't necessarily call him, at least according to my rankings, I wouldn't call him a sleeper. But his ADP right now is 151. So he's like a 13th round or 14th round pick right now. That's pretty late. Especially like if you're one of those people that doesn't want to get one of those like top, what do we have for tier? Top three catchers, Realmuto, Rutschman, Will Smith, like top three. If you don't want to get one of those right away, you can wait until that 13th, 14th, 15th round and take Big Dumper. And one, you're going to get good production. He had a 15.4% barrel rate last year, which if he was a qualified hitter, that would have been like sixth best in all of baseball. He strikes out a ton. So like don't get mad in points leagues when his 30% K rate comes back to bite you. But he led all catchers last year with 27 home runs. He only hit 211, but he came way back in the second half of the year. He makes hard contact, makes good contact, comes up clutch in big moments. Mariners are going to have a good lineup, so he's going to be able to put out some counting stats. And I mean, you're going to have a dude on your team that you get to talk about Big Dumper all the time.
Yeah, he only played 119 games last year. Was he hurt a little bit, or did he? Was he not the starter the full time? Like, did he go through a slump, or what happened there? As you're our Seattle Mariners expert.
He got hurt for a little bit, but he also didn't play because he wasn't supposed to start the season as the starting catcher. So he kind of got brought up into the role. I know I went to some games last year where he was with Tacoma. with the family. And I actually got a Cal Raleigh foul ball. Like, it was weird. We were standing, well, story time. We were standing in line to get into Cheney Stadium. Cal Raleigh's up to bat, and he hits a foul ball that goes like up and out of the stadium, and it landed right inside the gate, like on the other side of where we were checking in. And we were just hanging out, and I was standing next to the kids, and I was like, somebody's going to grab the ball. Somebody's going to grab the ball. Somebody's going to grab the ball. And nobody ever grabbed it. So we went in. I told my son, I was like, hey, go grab the ball real quick. And I still have it in. It's on my desk, actually. So nice, fun times. Man. Yeah, he should play a lot more games this year. Especially, he's really the only legitimate catcher the Mariners have. So he should play a lot more than that 119 games.
Yes, I mean, he was one of the few on my list, but I gave him to you because you're the Mariners expert. Yes. But I went with, you know, only at ADP of 123, so right there in the beginning of the 10th round. Sean Murphy traded to the Braves in the offseason. You know, they gave up on Travis d'Arnaud, who was solid for them, so they must see something in Sean Murphy. Fangraphs has him projected to hit fifth in their lineup between Olsen and Albies. Projected to hit 22 home runs, hit about 250. That's what he's pretty much been on pace for in Oakland. I think Oakland, I don't have the ballpark factors pulled up, but I think Oakland is more of a pitcher's park than Atlanta is, but don't quote me on that. And I think the National League is just easier to hit in too. So Murphy's going to be in a good lineup. Last 2 years, had 17 home runs, 18 home runs, 59 RBIs, 66. Hit 216, 250. So kind of hurt your average, but should get some power there and get some RBIs in that Braves lineup.
Especially in points leagues. I know he's a big doubles guy. Didn't he hit like 35 last year, I think it was?
Got to pull it up 37 right doubles.
37, yeah. So that it's not going to play as well in like a category or roto league where you don't really track doubles. So his 18 home runs makes him a little less ideal, which kind of pushes him down that ADP board. But the 37 doubles, that plays all day in a points league. You get like 2 points per double that they hit. So like that's big.
We got to poll our listeners what their main leagues are. Because I don't think points is too – I know that's your thing. I don't think that's too popular among the masses here. But
It's not.
You know, I mean, doubles still translate to RBI opportunities, run opportunities. So it shows that he's a good hitter and, you know, maybe can turn some of those doubles into home runs there in Atlanta.
Yeah, I mean, 332 on-base percentage, 758 OPS. So he does his job. He walks 9% of the time. 41% hard hit rate is actually pretty good as well, 6% higher than league average. So he makes really good contact and hitting in that lineup. That lineup is stacked, like top to bottom. I know I said the Phillies lineup might be the best lineup in baseball all the time, but man, the Braves lineup is really fucking good. So he's always going to have people on base.
That Braves lineup, I still think I'd take, I don't know, the Braves lineup might be deeper than San Diego. They could all be 6, Rosario 7, Ozuna, if he can come back and not be a piece of shit, 8, Vaughn Grissom,
that's a big 9.
That's a huge if. Yeah, I think catcher, not necessarily going to, if Murphy falls, maybe I'll take him in like round 11 or 12. I'm not going to necessarily take him round 10 where he's being drafted. But yeah, these are also like sleepers and also just like mid-round targets that you can look at for each position.
Yeah, because we tried to rein it in on like how wide of a net we wanted to cast for sleepers. So capping it kind of around 200, one of my guys is above 200, but capping it around 200 kind of leaves it in the ballpark of guys, they're going to get drafted. These are guys that are going to get drafted. It's not here's a list of guys that may not get drafted and might produce after June. It's like they're all going to be good. So it's just a matter of these are big value picks.
Yeah, we'll eventually do a sleepers pick, probably like round 20 or later for every position or so. But we're just getting started here, so going with the mid round targets and move on to first base here. I had two other guys written down, but decided to go here with Anthony Rizzo, ADP good pick. Of 154, right there, late round 12, early round 13. Coming off a great season, first full season in Yankee Stadium. You know, he's going to have that great ballpark to hit in, that great lineup as well, especially if he's hitting, I think he's projected to hit second or third likely in that lineup. Let me pull it up here on Fangraphs. It is loading. But yeah, Rizzo last year had 32 home runs. Year before in 49 games with the Yankees had 8 home runs. So He has 40 home runs as a Yankee in 179 games. So he has potential to get 35, 40 home runs again, especially if he can get that average back up. He's hitting only 230 as a Yankee after hitting 272 in his career as a Cub. Yeah, Fangraphs has him projected to hit third after Glaber, Judge, Rizzo, Stanton. So good spot for him. You know, maybe not a good RBI opportunity with Judge hitting in front of him and hitting bombs there. But if they walk Judge, Rizzo's right there, get some counting stats, and hopefully he can, you know, not go too far down that path of, you know, he's going to be 30. He's 33 now, 34 in August. So he's getting the downside of his career, but I think he still has that definite 30 home run power. Maybe get, see those RBIs go back up to 80 or 90 rather than just 75, and hopefully get that average back up. I know we say this about a lot of guys, but he's another left-handed pull hitter. Probably the shift is going to help him. That remains to be seen, though.
He has turned himself into what I said Altuve was in the second base rankings, where he's literally just turned himself into a pull hitting fly ball hitter. Like, it's home run or bust for him, which it works being a lefty in Yankee Stadium quite a bit. I mean, he had 11% barrel rate, which is awesome, but he upped his launch angle to 19 degrees, which is the highest ever for him. And because of that, he had a career high 35% fly ball rate, which is actually 8% more than his career average, which is actually quite a bit. Pulls it 46% of the time, also a career high. That's just what he is. Like, I think he just found his niche and he's just fully leaning into it. And the fact that he's still back with the Yankees, I don't see why he couldn't just do it all over again. He's going to hit 30 home runs. He's going to, like you said, hurt the average, but he'll be one of those guys in a category league you take just because you want like some later round home run juice. And that's where you're going to get it from, is a guy like Anthony Rizzo.
Well, he was hurt. He had a back issue late in the year last year. So I'm looking at his split stats. First half, much better than the second half. First half, he had 22 home runs. I guess not much better, just played more. 22 home runs in 85 games. Second half had 10 home runs in 45 games. Only 18 RBIs in the second half, which on 10 home runs, which is not good. But yeah, if he's healthy from that back injury, hopefully that knocked him out a few times last year, he can see that power and hopefully get that average up.
Yeah, damn, he hit 224, but still had an 818 OPS. So he still walks a lot, still gets on base, still hits the fuck out of the ball. 11% walk rate.
Yeah,
good for you, Anthony
got
Rizzo.
Who you got at first base?
Oh, sorry, I was enamored by his Statcast page. I got Rowdy Tellez. Ooh. I've been waiting to say his name on here. ADP is all the way down at 173, so he's like a 15th, 16th round pick. I think there's excellent value there. His Statcast page is blood red. 13% barrel rate last year. Second best of his career. He actually had a higher one in 2019. But 91 mile per hour average exit velo. Max exit velo was 117 miles an hour. He killed that. 46% hard hit rate. And the crazy thing is, he's not one of those like big free swinging home run guys. Like, he was in the 63rd percentile in chase rate. He doesn't chase a lot of pitches. He only struck out 20% of the time, which is below league average. And he walked 10% of the time. Like, so not only does he have a good eye for the ball, he makes excellent contact. He had 35 home runs last year to go with 23 doubles. He's not really probably going to be much of an extra base hit guy, just because he's kind of a thick boy, so he doesn't get around the bases quite as well. But shit, at 6'4", 255, you don't really need him to run the bases fast. Like, you just need him to hit the ball far, and he does one hell of a job of that.
Yeah, Tellez was one of the other two guys here I had written down, ADP 174. Other guy I had was a little bit above Rizzo, Christian Walker, 136. But yeah, Tellez.
I like that one.
Looking at his numbers, last year he had 35 home runs, by far his career high. He had 21 in 111 games in 2019. 2020, though, he had 8 home runs in 35 games, which extrapolates to 37 home runs over a full season. So he has that power. He's shown he can hit for average. He's hit 283 in that 35-game season in 2020. I don't expect him to hit more than 220 or 230, but yeah, first base is a position where you just kind of want to get some power, and he's going to be a guy that can get you 30 home runs in the 15th, 16th round. So maybe not have him as your starting first baseman, but definitely as a backup, or if you have a corner infield spot, or just util. He's a good guy to put there.
Yeah, especially since 30 home run hitters are actually a lot harder to come by than they used to be in baseball. I don't have the leaderboard up right now, but I mean, there's a decent amount of them, but there's not a ton. So to be able to get a guy later in the draft like that, that can give you just that, like I just said with Rizzo, the home run juice. I mean, he's worth a roster spot easily. Like you said, even if he's not your starter, he could be your util guy. If you have one of those corner infielder spots, I've seen that quite a bit in leagues this year. It's a good guy to fill in there, especially at, what I say, pick 173. There's a ton of value, and value is exactly what we're looking for.
Yeah, only 23 guys hit 30 or more home runs last year. Telez was tied for eighth with 35. So, yeah, you're not going to find that power very often somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, that seems to be the theme so far here with him and Rizzo and Kyle Riley. It seems to be a power theme here.
I like it.
I'll continue that theme here into second base with Brandon Lowe of the Tampa Bay Rays.
Ooh, I knew you were going there.
Yeah, he had a bad year last year. Only 8 home runs, hit .221 in 65 games, but that's still on pace for 20 home runs in a full season. Year before, though, 39 home runs, 99 RBIs, hit .247 in 150 games. If he can stay healthy, and you know, I'm not sure where he's supposed to bat in that Rays lineup. Probably, I'd imagine third or fourth, given his hitting profile and his power. Yeah, started to hit fourth behind your boy Yandy Diaz, Wander Franco, Rosarina, and then Lowe there. So he'll have some RBI opportunities. Definitely projected to hit 28 home runs again. So yeah, I know second base we talked about was a bit of a shallower position with just the top guys and then a little bit of drop off. But yeah, I think Brandon Lowe, I had him ranked as my 10th second baseman, and I would be just fine having him ADP 168, which is quick math, at least round 13 or 14. So yeah, I would easily take him in the low to mid teens to shore up my second base.
Yeah, I like it. Same thing, that home run power. We seem to both be targeting the same thing in these later rounds. And I think it's because power's a little, it's not necessarily cheap anymore. Like, to find the really elite power guys is going to be harder. Like, the theme used to be in the later rounds, you'd want to pick up those speed guys, somebody like a Jorge Mateo last year that it's going to fucking suck, but he's going to steal like 35 bases. But speed is going to be so cheap next year with the rule changes and everything that targeting something like power will be nice, especially at the second base spot. There's not a lot of second basemen that are going to hit that many home runs in a year. And keeping up with the barrel rate theme, got another double-digit guy, 10% barrel rate last year. Love to see it. Hard hit rate dropped, though, down to 39%, but he still walked at 10%. So he gets on base. My only thing was, I remembered it from when we did our second base rankings, the part that made me a little nervous about him was his lack of hitting ability on the breaking balls and off-speed pitches this year compared to the previous year. Like, breaking pitches, he hit 200 last year. He hit 241 in 2021. Off-speed, he hit 173 last year. He hit 218 in 2021. So I want to see some uptick there, because if you can see that, then that home run power is easily coming back.
Yeah, and only 6 second basemen hit more than 20 home runs last year. So if you can hopefully get that, I mean, Lowe only had 8 in half a year, but I think he'll be able to get to 20, if not more, if he stays healthy.
And speaking of a second baseman that has hit 20 home runs before, my choice is Jonathan India for the Reds.
Ooh, I like that.
His ADP is, I'll drum roll myself, 177. So a few of my guys are right around in that 170 range. His is 177. I know he dealt with some injuries last year. He only played, how many games? He played 103 games, had 16 doubles, 10 home runs, 41 RBIs. He hit .249, which is okay. But in 2021, he hit .269 with 34 doubles, 21 home runs. I think a lot of that might be the Great American Ballpark factor, which I love. It's something I'll be targeting later in drafts, whether it's Reds players or Rockies players. When you get later in the draft, give me the players that play for the parks that are most beneficial 2D counting stats that I so much dream about. That was such a weird fucking way to say that. Give me the ballparks that make players look better. Give me the ballpark that can make Dante Bichette look like a fucking Hall of Fame level player with a negative WAR on the season. But yeah, like give me Jonathan India. I'll take a guy that can hit 20 home runs at the second base spot, hit for a decent average. He could steal some bases. He stole 12 bases in 150 games in 2021. So maybe he can get double digit steals again and be just a solid spot at that weak second base position.
Yeah, he's someone that 2 years ago, like you said, he had kind of a good rookie year. He won rookie of the year. I forgot that with his good season. So, you know, he only played 103 games last year, 10 home runs. Yeah, he's a good late round, mid to late round target there. And sticking with the power theme here, still going to third base, I have Eugenio Suarez, someone who,
hell yeah,
you know, had his biggest years in Cincinnati, had 49 home runs, 34, 15 in the shortened season, 31 2 years ago, and showed he can go to Seattle and still hit 31 home runs again last year, 87 RBIs, hit 236. So not going to have a great average, but as we talked about before, average is hard to find now. Like a 250 hitter is like average. So I don't mind losing that in the batting average department and being able to pick up that power, especially at his ADP of 150 there, right there in the middle of the 12th round. Third base, you know, they had the top guys, J-Ram, Witt, Machado, Devers, Austin Riley, Arenado, then you got Bregman, and then it kind of falls off a bit, Henderson, and then you got Suarez kind of the top of that next tier. Like he's probably going to be overdrafted because the guys after him don't have quite as much potential, but I think where he's at, if you can get him in the 12th round, 13th round, he's somebody you can just put at third base, take your licks in the average department, and eat it up there with the home runs and RBIs.
Yeah, Mr. Two-Tone Hair, the good vibes only. I don't think there's anybody in the baseball world that hates Eugenio Suarez. He's just such a fun player to watch and just a fun player to have on your fantasy team as well. Like his batting average, like you said, it's going to struggle a little. But that's because he's just kind of the farther he's gotten into his career, he's just more of like a free swinging, I'm going to try and hit the shit out of the ball guy. And it works. Like he struck out 31% of the time last year, which was his career worst, but he still walked 11.5% of the time. Just shy of a 15% barrel rate. That's the 1, 2, 3. That's the fourth year in a row that he's had a 13% barrel rate or higher. He finished last year at 14.8%. 43.5% hard hit rate. Like he makes really, really good contact and he hits the ball really, really far. I'm trying to see, was he shifted much last year? He was shifted 80% of the time, but his wOBA with the shift and without the shift was about the same. And it kind of always has been throughout his career. So I don't think the shift is going to change much for him, especially when he's just up there to hit dingers, which he did 31 last year. He's going to hit in the heart of the Mariners lineup, which is like going to be one of the better lineups in baseball. So there's going to be people on deck in front of him. So
how is Colton Wong projected to hit fifth for you guys? I mean, that just seems you guys got a strong top four with J-Rod, France, Suarez and Teoscar, but then you got Colton Wong and then Big Dumper.
That's so weird because that can't be correct. Who has that projected?
That's
like
Fangraphs.
That?
Fangraphs. Maybe they'll put Kelnick in that spot if he pans out and does what he does, or he puts Pollock there if he's a decent DH. But
that's weird because we ended the year with Raleigh hitting cleanup, hitting four. So I figured Big Dumper would have stayed at four, and then Wong six at best, I guess.
Maybe, well, they have Teoscar taking the four spot. Maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
who knows? I mean, we'll see probably not even in spring training, but closer to the season when they do like actual lineups.
Yeah, real lineups.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's weird. Good choice, though.
Yeah. So who do you got at third base?
Josh Jung. It's Jung, right? I used to say Jung, Josh yes. Jung, but I, yeah, so, I swear
so did it's, I. It's, it, it is Josh Jung, yes.
He's somebody that division rival of the Mariners, so little iffy on picking him, but he put up numbers that I can't hate on. He only hit 204. He struck out 38% of the time, starting off not on a good note, but that is also why his ADP is down at 210. He's my one guy that I put outside of the top 200. And it's just because I like what he was able to do still. In 26 games, he still managed four doubles, a triple, and five home runs in 26 games. He's not up at the major league level to hit for a good average. He's not there to hit you the key single when you need to score the guy from second to win the game. He's literally just up there to hit the shit out of the ball. Very similar to Eugenio Suarez. I don't think he necessarily has the same kind of power as Eugenio Suarez. We'll have to see. I know he hit quite a bit of home runs in the minors. So look at that. I can check the minor leagues. Yeah, so in 2022, he hit – quick math. And he played all over.
He had nine home runs in 31 games. I have his MLB page pulled up last year.
Yeah, so there we go. Yeah, so he's got some power. Like, there's no question about that. It's just a matter of can he stop chasing the damn ball so much and make a real contact. Again, that's why he's going to be down at 210. But if you are somebody that's chasing that power in your lineup, like you need a little boost at the end of the draft, he's someone to take. And then also in best ball. We did the best ball draft. He's an excellent person to target in best ball where you're not dinged for strikeouts. Like average doesn't hurt you at all. He has 30 home run power. Like he could easily hit 30 home runs at the major league level. And if you've been listening to this episode at all, we're big on the home run power.
Yeah. I mean, in his minors career, he had 30 home runs, 118 RBIs, hit 311, OPS 919 in 153 games. That's pretty much a full season, you know, not quite major league pitching there. So maybe we'll see how he does with that. But yeah, Young was a guy I thought about putting up there as well, but I think there's guys above him and even behind him now. Like I also threw my other third baseman on this list were Matt Chapman at 160. I thought you might go there. I thought you were him high on him. And then Anthony Rendon all the way down at 245. For third base seems like some decent value there. All right, before we move on to the next position, let's take a short stop and remind you about the Big Game Bingo. Make sure to sign up for the SGPN app and get your own Big Game Bingo card full of all your favorite big game prop bets. If you get bingo, you win a $57 SGPN gift card. The only catch is you must be subscribed to the Sports Gambling Podcast and NFL Gambling Podcast on YouTube to win. In honor of the big game, SGPN is hosting a prop bet contest. Make your picks for 57 different prop bets. Winner will get $570 in cash and a $570 gift card to the SGPN store to get some of our sick baseball money is fake merch. And all of our contests are free to play exclusively on the SGPN app.
All right, so we got one position left. Shortstop. I want to see if you picked the same one as me. I picked somebody I have not talked about on a single episode.
Oh, that's it. Okay. We just talked about shortstop. What was that? Yesterday or in our last episode. So go back and listen to that if you haven't yet. We talked about how deep it was, but they're all, most of the good shortstops, their ADP is before 120. So it does not fit our criteria. Yeah, there are 15 shortstops or 14 in the top 112. And then my one guy, I kind of cheated here. His ADP is 119.65. So you can round it up to 120. Is Carlos Correa there at 120. Just because the people after him, I also threw Javi Baez on there at 167. Talked about him last show. Maybe see if he gets some of his pop back. But Correa, I think people are making a lot about what is going on this offseason with his physicals and whatnot, but I don't know if that's going to really affect him too much this coming season. Last year had 22 home runs, 64 RBIs, so not great, but I mean, the Twins, bringing him back, he knows the ballpark, he knows the organization, he's going to be comfortable there, and you know what, really, I don't love him in round 10. I'd rather get one of the guys in front of him, probably round 7 or 8, but given the criteria of what we're doing, projected to hit second in the lineup between Buxton and Polanco. A few other guys in there. I think Correa is somebody you kind of know what you're going to get, 20, 25 home runs, hopefully 70 to 80 RBIs, going to hit probably 280, 290. Just a solid, I don't even know if you can say you can count on him that much given his health this offseason, but I think if you take Correa around, what is he going to be, round 10 or round 10 and then get someone later that has shortstop eligibility or someone to pair him with, it won't be a bad option.
One thing I do love about Carlos Correa is that fucking mustache he has. That thing is incredible. I'm going to be power ranking the MLB mustaches here.
Saw your tweet about that. Maybe we should do a show with the best mustache at every position. Make the all mustache lineup.
I'm down. I got a few sleepers in there already. Trent Grisham showed up to Padres Media Day with fucking sweet mustache on his face.
I saw that picture of him.
There's some good ones out there.
Yeah, I saw that picture of him just leaning back in the chair with his jersey on and jeans on. People were like, it looks like he's just waiting somewhere, not like a professional player.
Yeah, right? Not at all.
Hit me here. Who you got at shortstop?
Oh, mine is Tyro Estrada. I think I'm unfairly low on him just because he's a very boring baseball player, in my opinion. There's a lot of people that seem to love him. I don't even remember where he was at on my rankings. He was outside my top 15 at the position, but that's mainly because it's so deep, and he is mainly second baseman, but he does have shortstop eligibility, so I skirted the rules a little bit there. But I'll take it. Statcast page is very blue. Only makes 4.4% barrel rate. Average exit velo, 86 miles an hour. Hard hit rate, only 31%. Tell me when you're getting excited here. But the good thing he does is he's got some quicks. He's got a little speed to him. And he still has a little pop. He hit 14 home runs last year, and he stole 21 bases. And he had no issues being active on the base pass because he was caught another six times. So he 27 stolen base attempts last year while hitting 260 with a 322 on-base percentage. I think that's where he maxes out. But if you've listened to our rankings shows prior to this, you know that dual position eligibility is something that we really like. Mm-hmm. And I love that he has the shortstop ability, but also can play second base. So he
has outfield too on Yahoo.
Oh, there we go. See, he's only got second and shortstop on ESPN. So if he's got outfield as well.
Yeah.
I don't love the pick, but it's a good value pick. I think he'll give you what you want from the spot.
What's ADP 178? So yeah, that's around like 15, 16. You can get him there. It's not gonna be your starting second baseman, not gonna be your starting shortstop or starting outfield, but put him in your tail spot, maybe a good guy to have on your bench and that can play multiple positions. So yeah, that's we're big on that here. Yeah, and then speaking of multiple positions, I also did rank a few guys that are more of the utility players. Max Muncy, we've been big on. I believe he's eligible at second and third base, ADP of 142. Big on him. I think his ADP is going to skyrocket, especially if he does damage in spring training. Jose Miranda can play first base and third base for the Twins. Another young guy that could have a breakout season at ADP of 152. And then I keep mentioning this guy, Brandon Drury. He can play first base, second base, third base. Might end up getting, I'm not sure where he's playing for the Angels, might end up getting outfield eligibility possibly, but ADP 193 right there around 15, 16. Projected to play second base for the Angels, so won't get outfield, but
okay.
Good lineup there. He showed last year that he can hit, so a good pick in the late rounds that can fill in for first, second, or third whenever you have an off day or just, you know, if you guys in a slump.
Yeah, and he already showed last year that he has the ability to be a fantasy asset. He came out of nowhere last year and put up solid numbers. And I think he could do it again with the Angels. Like, they have an excellent lineup. I hate to say that out loud, but I've spent a lot of time thinking about it the last couple of days for God knows what fucking reason. But they have a lot of guys with power. Like, I think off the top of my head, they have six guys that could hit 20 home runs easily this coming year, which is nuts.
They must be a big fan of our podcast then, because we like power. They like power. Yeah, they got Ward, Trout, Otani, Rendon could hit 20, Renfro, Drury, Walsh. That's their top seven. Could all, they're all projected for at least 18 on Fangraphs. So, yeah, it's just a matter of, it seems like every year it's like, okay, the Angels, look at them. Look how good they are. And then they're just complete shit. So
yeah,
maybe this is a year for Mike Trout and the Angels.
Maybe this is a year they finish like third and make the last wild card spot. I'll take that. Mariners take the division. But I think that's what I've got for this episode.
Yeah, that was good there. We ran through it, I think, pretty quickly. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed that. Let us know your mid-round targets on Twitter at Fake Baseball. Always interact with us there. Make sure you follow us on the Baseball Money is Fake feed. If you're listening this long and you're not following us on that feed, I don't know what you're doing. Make sure you get there so you can help the show grow, share the show, help it get some new listeners. And yeah, leave us a 5-star rating and review as well as auto downloading.
Yes. And as always, follow us on that Twitter at Fake Baseball, the coolest at on Twitter. You can catch me on Twitter at Balakaye, BUHHLOCKAYE.
And I am Ryan Gilbert. You can follow me on Twitter at RGilbertSOP.
And we will catch you guys next time.
Peace.